We're going to play a song here in just a minute that I want you to listen to. But before we do that, turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 in the Gospels. This is the story of Jesus and abiding in the vine. John chapter 15, verse 1. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Dear Jesus, we just ask as we open up the scriptures and we listen to this song that you'll touch our hearts and you'll bless the reading of your word and the preparation and the message that you've given that you might strengthen each and every one of us here. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This song is from the Thompson family. We've had it for a while, but it touched my heart, so I wanted to share it with you here now.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high. A lot on my own, and I thought that I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man. Oh, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high. can't even walk without you holding my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. For I can't even walk, no, I can't even walk. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
That touched my heart. And it goes along a little bit with what we've been doing in Sunday school as guidance through life, making decisions in life, and having help through this life that we're in. In our verse that we read this morning, it says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." The ye is plural. When they take the ye's and the these and the thou's out, they take a lot of the meaning out of the Bible. But ye is plural. The one way to remember that is, you got two lines there sticking up of the Y. That's a good way to remember it. More than one there. The question this morning that we have for everybody, how is your life turning out so far? Are you ready for a change? Do you want God's helping hand in your life? Are you ready to follow God's leading in your life? Now the big one. Are you ready to admit that you're helpless without God's helping hand in your life? Well, I'm not saying that everything's been a disaster. God's mercy and grace has brought you where you are today. But I really think that we need to be honest with ourselves and say, where I'm at right now today, how did I get where I'm at today? Do I want to be somewhere else in my life today? And then the big question, will you let God help you? See, that's where it comes down to. There's all kinds of self-help and self-esteem, and there's all kinds of pills and books and programs and all kinds of things out there. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It says in Psalms 127, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain." The watchman, the guards. There's lots of ways to build a house, or there's lots of ways to build a home. But if the Lord is not the builder, then it's all in vain. It's all empty, and it will fall. We all have a plan. Maybe you got your 401k or IRAs or whatever those things are. Maybe you got a second job. Maybe both people are working. And there's just too much week left at the end of the paycheck. And you just can't seem to make it through the month or through the week. So there must be something wrong with the plan. How's the kids? How's the grandkids? How's the family? How's the job going? So many, hundreds and hundreds of things out there that are going on all the time in our life. How are they going? How are they turning out? How do you feel when you lay your head on your pillow at night? How do you feel in the morning when you get up? How's it going? What's happening? Are you ready for change? One of the fears we didn't discuss in Sunday school class was the fear of change. Everybody wants things fixed, but they don't want to change anything. So many times we have teens or young men or young women, excuse me, they'll go off to a home like Roloff or one of those, or there's one in Oklahoma, different homes like that, because they get their lives all messed up and get off there, and they go out there for 6 months or a year or so and get dried out, sobered out, and straightened out, and the head screwed on straight and everything else. They come back home, and the home's still the same way. Back down the tubes they go. Nothing was changed. Nothing was fixed. Fear of change. Are you ready for change? I think it's very interesting with some people. We run across some people here. Various times, different ones, different states. And you try and introduce something new to them. Say, Chinese food. Spanish food. Fish. No way. They are not interested in trying it. They don't want to try it. They don't even want a little taste of it. We're going to have meats and beans, and we're going to have pinto beans, we're going to have potatoes, and we're going to have meat and bread. And that's all we're going to do, and that's what we're going to have, and that's all we're going to do. We're not going to try anything new. We're not going to try anything different. We're just going to do what we've always done. That's called a rut. In a rut. You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends punched out. No changes at all in life. Now, maybe you don't like shrimp. That's fine. But at least try it. Maybe you ought to try reading your Bible every morning before you go to work. Maybe you ought to try reading your Bible at lunch. Maybe you ought to try reading your Bible in the evenings before you go to bed. So that's the last thing that's run across your mind, and not the sports scores or the weather, or the bombings. The last thing through your mind was the Word of God. Maybe you ought to try that. Maybe you have to change your schedule a little bit. Set the alarm for 5 minutes earlier. Or get up when it goes off and knock the snooze button. Go out and start the car and let it warm up and pray while it's warming up. Try a change. Well, we don't ever come on Sunday nights. Try a change. Wednesday says, no, that's middle of the week. I'm tired. I got to work. No. Try a change. Are you ready for a change? Are you willing to have a change in your life? Or do you want to do like we read the little story about and have a possum ranch? Or do you want to see what God says? What do you want? Are you ready to admit that I can't even walk without you holding my hand? Pride. You know, as I was studying this and going over this and praying about this, I was reminded about, I was thinking about little Colton. He's learning how to walk. And he does pretty good most of the time. But he can go a lot faster if you hold it on to his hand. But when he gets close to the stairs, everybody stops and waits to see if he's going to go down head first or back down. What do you think about God when he looks down at us? He sees us walking along the bluffs of the Grand Canyon, not even looking where we're going, watching the stars or the sky or the clouds or the birds. And he and he reaches out his hand. He reaches out his hand to hold us and grab us and get a hold of us. And we do like little Colton does sometimes. Nah. Nuh-uh. You ain't holding my hand. No, I can do it myself. Uh-uh. We treat God the same way. We treat God the same way. Well, yeah, I know the last time I walked along here I fell. But I got new shoes now. I took this new class on how to walk the tightrope. I can do it now. Remember the story several years ago about the man in the Grand Canyon. Niagara Falls. Had a rope out across Niagara Falls. And he'd walk that tightrope. You know, a lot of people did that. Well, he did it with a wheelbarrow. You know, took the tire off, had the little rim there with the little groove in it. And he walked that wheelbarrow across the Grand Canyon. Niagara Falls. And he turned around and come back. Believe I can do that? And they said, yeah, we believe you can do it. We've seen you do it. He says, who wants to ride in a wheelbarrow? Huh. Do you believe God can help you in your life? Do you believe God can help you in your family? Do you believe God can help you in your finances? Do you believe God can give you a peace in your heart? Do you believe God can give you a sound mind and take those fears away? Do you believe God wants you to be happy and joyful and have a full life? Do you believe God loves you and He wants to do those things in your life? Well, then get in a wheelbarrow. Put all of your faith in Jesus. Get in a wheelbarrow. Let Him take your life. Hey, life's just like a tightrope across Niagara Falls. It's the same thing. It's a balancing act. You know, most of those tightrope walkers, they use a pole or a bicycle or a weight, or they do something. They've got help. But you see, we have to be willing to admit. We have to be willing to admit that I can do nothing without Jesus. That doesn't mean everything except you fill in the blank. Well, I don't want to bother God with the small things. Small things don't stay small. They get big. You get a little cut on your finger. You don't clean it out. You don't take care of it. Don't put something on it. Keep it clean. It's going to get infected. It's going to get sore. And every time you reach out and touch something, it's going to remind you that it's there. Well, I'm tough. I can handle it. It's just my finger. I don't need to do anything. You ever smelled someone that had gangrene? Turn your stomach. Just started out as a little sticker, a little cut. But you can handle it. You're tough. Well, is things okay the way they are now? Everything's all right? You like the way they're going? You want to leave the way they are? Are you ready for change? Are you ready to let God be your guide? This verse, this lesson, this message is not just for Christians. Oh, many times Christians get saved, yes. But then they go back to their old ways, their old habits, and their old friends, or whatever it is. And they don't ever grow. And they get all messed up again. Oh, they don't lose their salvation. Oh, you're going to go to heaven, yeah. But your life's a mess. You're sad. Depressed. Mad. Angry. Use all kinds of escapes to get out of reality. It doesn't have to be drugs. It can be a pillow. It can be just an old pillow. Just sleep. Because you're lying to yourself. And a lost person that doesn't even know Jesus is their Savior, they're all trying to do it on their own. Without any help at all. Look around you. Look around you. See where they're headed. See what's going on. See where their life is. Look around you. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New. You may have to get off of them steaks and potatoes and try some green beans or something, you know? Have a salad once in a while. Because you're a new creature, a new being. You may have to read your Bible. You may have to study. You may have to pray. You may have to stand up. You may have to walk away from the dirty jokes at work. You may have to change the way you drive, the way you eat, and the things you drink, and the places you go, and how you dress. Because you belong to somebody else now. Change. What's wrong with change? This world's changing all the time. This world is changing by the minute, by the day, and by the year. This world is getting worse, and this world is changing. But there's one consistent thing. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always the same. He's always consistent. He's always there. He's always got the same standards. He's always got the same rules. He's always got the same love, the same mercy, the same grace. He's always there. He is there. He is your rock. But we have to conform to the rock, not the rock conform to us. So many people pick a church or a religion at what suits their life, what suits their style, or what they agree with. Well, I think it ought to be this way, or I think that's the way it's done. Or I guess, well, what's God say? Well, this is what I think. Well, whoopee. It says in Romans 5:6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's us. That's me. That's you. So many times we give people advice from the Word of God, but they don't want to swallow the pill. They want to stick to their old ways. They want to stick to their old habits. They want to take the pill. Listen, folks. Jesus' hand is not short. God's ear is not closed. He can hear. He's always listening for you. He's always got his hand out there. No matter how many times little Colton rebels against mama and gets upset, because he's a boy, he's a child, doesn't mean mama doesn't love him. No way does that compare to the love of God in our life. We're seeing our grandchildren grow up. It's an exciting thing. My grandson wanted another Bible. He says, "I want a little one that's easier to carry." Got one of them, one of them things you play with, one of them games, you know. He says, "Well, I think I'm going to read my Bible." Whoa. "So we'll read it to us." So he's driving down the road. He's reading Ecclesiastes. But he had fun doing it. That's a blessing to my heart. It's a blessing to my heart. Where's your family? Where's your kids? Where's your grandkids? Where are they headed? What's going to happen in their lives? What's going to happen in your life? All you've got to do is reach up and take Jesus' hand and say, "I can't even walk without holding your hand." And Jesus will make sure. And he'll guide you down the right path. And when you stump your toe, he's there to make it feel better. Oh, there's some gravelly roads. There's some rough roads. There's some narrow paths. There's some uphills and some downhills. But he'll keep you out of the quicksand. If you will take his hand and let him guide your life. Let him guide your life. Do not be afraid of where Jesus will take you, because he loves you. Do you know you're saved? Have you been letting Jesus guide your life? That's between you and God. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to see what God would have you to do. Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll take this precious word and you'll touch our hearts. And you'll help us be obedient sheep as we follow the great shepherd. We ask this in the name of Jesus.